Hello, everybody, and welcome to 100 Year Real Estate Investor. We're your hosts, Jake and Gino, and this is a show dedicated to long-term personal financial engineering. Gino, how's it going?
Jake, I'm doing great today. How are you doing?
Always making it happen, big man. And I'm making it happen today because I'm excited about this show. The G-Daddy is here. He's going to enlighten us. He's going to show a path to build generational wealth for your children, but also to show them how to develop a long-term mindset. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about estate planning and some of the things I'm working on. But right now, G-Daddy, take it away.
Where do I start, Jake? This is a touchy subject for a lot of people. And I'm going to start off by saying I was a little hesitant and a little resistant to it in the beginning. I spoke to my wife a few years ago and I'm like, you know, I've got these people telling me that I need to get whole life for my kids, whole life insurance with a death benefit. And that sort of, as Jake would say, freaked me the F out. I'm like, whole life, death benefit for my kids? That doesn't make sense. But then when we created the 100 Year Real Estate Investor, I took another look at it. And I said to myself, it's whole life for life. I'm always talking about long-termism. I don't like government plans. Let's say my kid doesn't go to college. I have money in a 529, education IRA, 401k. I don't believe in any of these plans because I want control. So I was presented with the option and I said, this looks pretty good. Let me look at it. I dug further, went down the rabbit hole, as a lot of our listeners do, with that engineering mind doing the numbers. And I said to myself, I like this. And I'm going to go through, I would say, top five or six. I have nine written down here right now. There's probably more. But reasons why whole life for children makes sense. If you have that disposable income, an extra income, you're diverting it somewhere else. I had money sitting in the bank. How many of you out there have money sitting in a bank in a savings account making 0.02%? I did. So the first reason that I loved getting whole life for my children was it's a forced savings. Every year I get that premium. It needs to go in there. It's not by term and invest the difference. It's by whole and have it for a whole life. So for me, the first one is it's forcing my savings. Number two, it's a cash management tool. I'm using it as a cash management strategy. The third one, it's control and it's protection of my money. I am the beneficiary of that policy. If I need that money, I can borrow it out of that policy. How many of you can do that with a 401k? You've got money in a 401k or a 529. It's sitting there. We're saving as middle-class mindset. And I've been there. We're taught to save for an event, save for college, save for retirement. I'm teaching my children to save to buy an asset. That's what I'm teaching them, that money the whole life can be reutilized and repurposed to buy an asset. That's what I'm teaching them with this strategy. It's not all about chasing return. This area of where I put my money, this risk, this is the lowest barrier of risk. I have it there. It's for an opportunity cost. So let me go through the first three real quick again, then Jake can jump in. For savings, it's forcing me to save. I started a policy 20 years ago. It was only $5,000 a year. I look back at it now, 20 years later, I've got over $170,000 in that policy. It's like, wow. For only $5,000 a year, how many of you out there could say to yourself, oh, if I could only put $5,000 a year, I'll have this amount. If you don't commit to it and you don't force to save yourself, that money will not be saved. So forced savings, number one, cash management, number two, and number three, control and protection of that money. Yaki, you want to jump in there, bro?
Yeah, no, I think we're both fans and just looking at it in through a slightly different lens. Mine is more strictly legacy, I think. And my big thing is I love the death benefit. And the reason I do this, we've talked about this before. So if you want to go back and listen to previous shows, you can look at or Google, you know, the difference between the Rockefeller and the Vanderbilt's estate planning and whole life. And you can look into that and really unpack why the Rockefellers' legacy has lived on and the Vanderbilts has dwindled. Okay. So that's number one. So you look to history to teach you. And ultimately, you know, me personally, I'm looking for these examples where I can say, okay, what can I pull from that to apply to today? Okay. So that's where I'm looking at it from. And so, you know, you're working on a dynasty trust, but then ultimately whole life for myself, but also making sure that the beneficiary is the trust. Okay. That's the key, irrevocable life insurance trust. And then also for my kids, but the beneficiary on these policies is also the trust. And if I'm fortunate enough to make it long enough, when there's the grandkids, I'm going to be involved in that and maybe tying in, you know, components to the trust in order for them to access and use it. The future generations will have to have whole life policies going back into the trust. And that's how you make these things live on for generations. If you want to leave something for future generations, this is all about your goals. Let that sink in. There's multiple ways to use different financial tools. This is a way that I'm looking to set generations of my family up for success, similar to the Rockefellers versus the Vanderbilt. So those are my personal ambitions. Those are my personal goals and how I'm structuring, you know, internally generational wealth for future generations of my family. So
I've got several more to go. So I'm going to go real quick for everyone out there. Number four, I'm teaching the kids about the rules of money and the dual asset strategy. Jake mentioned the Vanderbilts and the Rockefellers. My kids are hearing BOLI, bank-owned life insurance, corporate-owned life insurance. I'm teaching them. Go back to Andrew Cordell, our podcast we did with Andrew on the 100 year. He talks about the rules of money, and he gets super excited when he talks about whole life because he understands the power of it. And anyone who's wealthy is utilizing whole life. So I want to teach my kids at an early age the power and the advantages of using whole life. How do I do that? I do by example. I lead by example. I actually go out there and I purchase policies for them. Number five, giving them some type of life insurance in case one of them at an older age gets sick and they can't qualify for life insurance. They at least have a base plan out there. They may get type 2 diabetes. They may get some type of cancer. I don't know. God forbid that doesn't happen. But I want to plan. I want to have an option to say, hey, Gabriella, you've got $1.5 million of life insurance. At least you can't qualify, but you have at least a little base of something. I'm thinking about their future. So keep that in mind. Number six, I don't want those government plans. Like I just mentioned, I don't want a 529. What happens if my third daughter doesn't want to go to college? Well, I get penalized. Money's sitting in there. I don't want money in the stock market because what happens if I need to take the money at that time and the stock market's down 40% and I've got to cash out because they're going to college? I lose out. I don't want to risk this money and I don't want to be in, I guess I would say, in a contractual obligation with the government because they can change rules on 529s and 401ks at any time. They've done it and they will continue to do it. Number seven, I can give it to them at any time. Papa Gino can say, hey, Gabriella, you're X age, here's a gift. Or my daughter, who's going to turn 8 years old this year, at 17 years of age, she's ready to go to college. I have this plan structured for a 10-year pay. I can say, you know what? Time to go to college, sweetie. I can borrow the money from the policy. We can pay from the policy. Or you know what? You've shown yourself to be so amazing. I really trust you with money. This is yours. Go out and buy a house. Go out and buy a car, whatever that may look like. But I am actually building
the apartment building. Well, dump the college, dump the house. Here you go, sweetie. Let's go get you an asset.
But they've got the money. So the money's there. I want to be able to gift it to them. But at the same time, like I said, I'm controlling it. I'm the beneficiary until I say, you don't get it until I say so. So it's a great way to start building and thinking about them. And each one of them has their own policy at a certain age. Bam, it's yours. Give it over to you. The next one, it's a cheaper cost of insurance. When the kids are younger, life insurance is a lot cheaper because they're younger. Their mortality rate, you know, when they pass away, mortality is probably going to be 90 years old for an average female. So right now that cost of insurance is cheaper. And I mentioned this one's number nine. I put it separately, but I mentioned it about, you know, number six, what I talked about. I'm not putting the money at risk. I don't want to have any market timing. That money is sitting there. It's a cash management tool. If and when I need it, I can utilize it. I don't have to worry about the stock market being down 30%. I don't need any of that. This is what is so awesome about this because I can pull it out at any time. I know the capital's there. I know it's safe. These whole life insurance companies have been paying dividends for over 140 years. World wars, great depressions, great recessions. They've been there. They're the foundation of the economy in the United States. So they are not going anywhere. So I feel very safe without having to risk that capital. And once again, if I do need that capital, I can utilize the dual asset strategy. Pull out the money from there, go invest it into an asset. As the asset pays itself off, I pay back the loan. And hence, I have two assets, the dual assets.
It's just, you know, it's a great example. And this is where I'm coming from. Gino's goals are slightly different from mine. He's the beneficiary versus my trust. So there's just different things going on here, but there's so many opportunities for everybody. So gang, if you want to learn more, please check us out. Go to dualassetstrategy.com, schedule a call with one of our advisors and you know, take it from there. See if it makes sense for you. In the meantime, we're going to keep rocking and rolling, making it happen. And that's about it. So Gino, thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, Jake. Take care, everyone.
Take care.